Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. Our broadcasters are all ages and abilities. This is what makes us your local station. VectisRadio.com.
Older and Wiser with James and Judith and Age Friendly Ireland, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund. Well, welcome to another Older and Wiser show here on Vectis Radio. In the studio with Judith and me, we've got Dan Taylor and Tim Cripps. This is going to be one of my favourite shows, I think, of the series, because we're talking about digital inclusion. Now, Dan, you are the Digital Inclusion Officer at Age UK Isle of Wight. Tim, you are a volunteer.
Yes.
At the sessions that the people do here on the Isle of Wight. First of all, I'd like to ask, Dan, what does digital inclusion mean, please?
So simply, it means enabling older people to access technology in its simplest terms. For my project, it focuses on the over 50s.
Yes. Okay, now I've got a stunning statistic that you have provided to me here, which is that 22.2% of adults on the Isle of Wight have not been online in the last 3 months. And in fact, 17% of adults here have never been online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is an extraordinary statistic, isn't
definitely. It? Definitely. When I read them for the first time, I was looking at the digital exclusion heat map of the island and likelihood of being excluded. And it's to do with you know, anything from 4G signal and broadband availability, and it's to do with actual skill set. So have people actually had the, you know, the training and the experience of learning how to use technology when they were younger, for example. Seeing them kind of statistics kind of really shows that actually the project is valuable on the island and needed.
And I think there's a sort of huge disparity between people of over 50 on the island, because Judith and I live in Bembridge, where, you know, a lot of people are getting on.
Yeah.
We know people in their 80s who are fantastic on Facebook, you know, not just at posting things, but they will, you know, they'll put up little iMovies. They will do extraordinary things with photographs. They'll create photo books, all that sort of thing, you know, as though it's sort of second nature to them.
Definitely.
And then we've got friends who, you know, we try to get emails out to people, because we run a local cinema, and the main way we get things out to people is through emails. And some people don't check their emails, not just daily, but weekly. And one of the problems is, of course, that people are missing out as people now stop doing things in a physical way. You know, we're stopping doing posters. We're stopping, you know, all of that. I mean, we advertise in the parish magazine, but that's about it now. A lot of concerts and events on the Isle of Wight are only now accessible in terms of buying tickets through Ticket Source or some kind of online portal. So people are missing out. And also banking. Now, tell me about what the problem is with banking, Dan.
So I suppose when branches shut out in the community, you're left with two options. You can either travel into a local branch. Now, we all know that transport on the island is quite a difficulty for a lot of older people, whether it be mobility or access to a three-hourly bus or whatever it may be. So, you know, yes, you can say go online and do internet banking, but actually there's a huge fear over, you know, are my details safe? You know, you can't just say go online and bank if you don't even know how to turn your iPad on. So it's all very well and good sort of, you know, shutting a branch or having less access, but actually, and saying going online, but without that training and support, people can't access that.
Okay, now Dan, you're under 50, I can see, and Tim, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I'm assuming you're over 50.
I'm over 80.
My goodness, you're over 80. That's pretty incredible. So you, Tim, are helping people. What do you find is the thing that people worry about most in terms of what they're missing? Not in terms of going onto the internet in the first place, but why do people want to get onto the internet when they're older?
I think they do want to keep in touch with others, but I'm actually sent along as a little sort of emergency rescue of someone who's having a simple practical problem of his. He's bought a new printer because the old one died, and his laptop isn't communicating with the printer. That was a typical thing. And I've picked up, with no real tuition at any stage of my life, I've just picked up the essentials, and I... sent up a quick arrow of prayer as I walked along to this man, thinking, I don't know if I can do this, but we got in there.
Yeah, good.
Removed his old printer from its program, and away he went. And we've become firm friends now.
Oh, well, that's...
And he is even coming along to give help at the library drop-ins.
Oh, well, that's absolutely terrific.
And his big problem, he confided in me, was loneliness.
Yes, yeah, and I'm sure that is the case. But actually, although going digital can make you lonely because you're not getting out there seeing people, and I think loneliness is now a problem for teenagers as well as older people because they're relying upon social media. Mm. It is a wonderful way of staying in touch with family and friends, and we find now that when we try to get in touch with family and friends, we'd much rather do it by text or by Facebook or some kind of email. Rather than on the phone. Mm. And I think a lot of people don't realise actually the extent to which they're missing out on communication with their family because they don't have the internet, because younger people these days don't pick up so much and talk to their grandparents. They'd much rather, you know, send them by Facebook Messenger or something like that, which they would normally do with their friends. Well, I guess that most teenagers now think that Facebook is for oldies and that they'd do things on Snapchat. But you know, they are missing out, not just in terms of banking, in terms of going to events, but in terms of being in touch with their family. Now, one thing I should have done at the beginning is talk about something that Helen Lewis did, which is a wonderful thing. She's been running these forums. In fact, there have been forums all over the Isle of Wight and talk about issues relating to them. Dan, I think there's been an amazing turnout at these forums because Helen was sort of saying it was slow to pick up, but now... You said, I think, over 60 people.
Yeah, that's correct. Came in over the six ones. Yeah, over 60, which is great. I went across to the West Wight Forum and Cowes as well, and there's a great buzz in the room and lots of people chatting about issues like GP surgeries and that kind of thing. So
yes, because there was a GP surgery survey going on, isn't there, at the moment? Well, hats off to Helen Lewis. Thank you very much. Helen, those are still going to continue, of course, across the island, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah, if anyone's interested, they can get in touch with Helen Lewis at Age UK Isle of Wight. Just call the office 525282 and just ask for her by name, and you can find out whatever you might want to know about it.
Fantastic. Well, look, stick with us, because I think in a moment I'd like to talk about why people over 50 do not want to get onto the internet, why they don't use computers and what they're worried about. But we'll be back in just a few minutes after the advertisements. Shawaddy waddy there. Oh, that takes us back. And that was I Wonder Why. And we have been wondering why people don't go online, haven't we? We've got Dan Taylor and Tim Cripps here. We're talking about digital inclusion and digital exclusion. Now, we spoke about why people perhaps miss out on things. Let's talk about some of the worries and also how you can help them through those worries, because it's not enough to talk about people missing out and not going online. You are driving a program, aren't you, Dan, to get people online?
Definitely.
And how do you do that? There are these drop-in clinics, are there?
Yeah, so we've got a whole mixture of support across the island. It varies, so we've got free support and paid-for support. Things like, as you mentioned, the drop-in sessions are really key. We've got Ryde Library, Newport Library and Freshwater Library, where we hold drop-ins on a monthly basis and twice monthly in Ryde and Newport.
Yeah.
So people can come along to us with a raft of problems, really. They can bring their tablet or their smartphone, or I haven't had a sat nav yet, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, okay, well, that's good.
And it's nice because I get joined by volunteers such as Tim here with us.
Yeah.
And we just provide informal support and split it amongst whoever turns up for that hour and a half. So we have tea and coffee and just get to chat about technology, and people can sit there with like-minded individuals who might have a fear of technology themselves.
Yeah.
Or they brought their tablet with them.
Now let me ask Tim something. Are people embarrassed when they sort of come into these drop-in sessions about the things that they don't know?
I think they are, actually, sometimes. That lady the other day with a Tesco tablet, she it was her own fault, and so she was embarrassed. She'd forgotten her passwords.
Yeah.
But she became quite defensive about it, didn't she?
Right,
she did.
Well, no more tech shaming. I think people, you know... feel that they ought to know, don't they?
Yes.
In the old days, of course, we'd get instruction manuals. These days, instruction manuals come online, so you have to get online in the first place. So tell me, what are the real worries that people have? So, before you actually get them onto a laptop or onto a iPad or some form of tablet, what is the key thing stopping them from buying one in the first place, Dan?
I think there's sometimes a fear of technology. So it's not knowing. There's so much out there. It's, do I go and buy a laptop? Do I go and buy a tablet? What's a tablet? Is it something I put in my mouth in the mornings for medication? Do I need a desktop? What else do I need with it? What on earth's broadband? What are all these terms? Bandwidth and browser. There's so many words out there that are technical, and I think it can be a bit overwhelming for older people, especially if you haven't grown up with technology. So I think the key thing is making sure that for the project that we support people to have a chance to sit down with a cup of tea and ask the questions. And so I run try before you buy type sessions, so we've got a whole raft of equipment, laptops and tablets, and people can come along and poke them and say, what's that one, what's the on button, why would I even need it?
Okay, well that's sort of one point. I think a lot of people are worried that the whole of their bank account is suddenly going to get drained, aren't they?
Yeah.
Tim, I mean, do you find that people come in and will confess to you that they have done something stupid online?
I haven't met that, but I had one lady I was trying to help with her printer, in fact, and it exposed the fact that she was very vulnerable to a scam because she had... it was a basic problem. She'd bought the wrong... ink. It looked all right, but it was the wrong number, and her printer was complaining, obviously. And I thought that was the problem, but I looked online and saw an HP helpline support, and I thought, well, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a scam.
Oh, my goodness.
And by the time they'd got into her computer with me helping her, so they'd done a sort of log me in type program, and they were zipping around the computer and they revealed this page which said, oh, someone's had access to your computer,
right,
unauthorized, and they've caused four blockages. And he could see, he could point them out that there were four blocks. So I began to get suspicious, luckily.
Yeah.
And I said, look, this isn't going to be for free, is it? He said, no, no. I said, well, how much is it going to cost to sort this out?
Yeah.
And he said, well, about £50 per blockage.
Oh, my goodness.
At which point I said, well, you can't really expect me to expose this poor old lady that I'm helping to £200 worth just to sort out this problem. And at which point he put the phone down. I looked deeper and found that she just got the wrong ink. But, she was totally vulnerable.
Well,
gullible.
I mean, that's probably going to put people off, isn't it? Because there are so many scams going on at the moment. I mean, we've had the ladies from IWASP, the Trading Standards part of the council here, in to talk about some of these internet scams. But people are getting increasingly ingenious. I mean, the other day, I now sort of cover up the little camera, which you're told to do, by everyone in MI6 and MI5, because people can get control of your camera, and apparently there's such, not depth of field, but, there's such fisheye things that they can actually watch you putting your password in on your keyboard. That's the way people get passwords.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the Wild West, isn't it? So
it certainly can be, and it can be a bit of a minefield, but obviously the idea of the project isn't to put people off technology.
No, I know, but it worries me. How do you stop people getting worried?
The key thing is to remember that, especially with things like email scams, because that's where predominantly a lot of these scams can land in our inbox, and is to remember that actually nothing is that urgent. An email's arrived, yes, but you don't have to immediately respond with your bank account information because it might be from supposedly your bank. The key thing is kind of stopping and thinking. I often talk to older people about staying safe online as part of the delivery of the project we do, and saying that actually just pause and think, what am I being asked to do? What am I being asked to give over? If someone walks up to you in the street and says, oh, what's your name and what's your PIN number, you're not going to tell them.
Yes, absolutely. I think this was the point we were discussing outside in the green room, isn't it, Dan? That older people are very polite, they're very law-abiding, they don't want to cause offence. And they will tend to do what they're asked to do. But as you say, if you just stop and you put it in a real world context, so if somebody came up to me in the street and asked me for these details, well, I wouldn't give them. And banks don't ask you. Your bank won't ask you for that kind of information online. HMRC, the Inland Revenue, won't ask you for that information online. Will it? So anybody who's genuine won't be asking you to divulge that online.
And a lot of advice, I've worked with Trading Standards on the scams training that I deliver as part of my iPad course, and we work quite closely with them with referrals and that kind of thing. And the key thing is that if you think, oh, one of my bank was trying to contact me, well, turn your credit or debit card over and use the number that's printed on the back of it.
Absolutely.
If you know you think it might have been HMRC, you know, if you're unsure on how to find the number, you know, get a friend or family member to help you find the legitimate number.
Yes, and call them and ask them if you want to verify it. Yeah.
And things like the you've won a tax rebate of £300, it's exciting because I've got this money and all I've got to do is send my details over, and it's just pausing and going, actually, for many years of work, it used to come through the post and it was a nice surprise because it was a check. Not going to send it via email, so it's just remembering, you know, to pause and think. And if in doubt, ask.
Absolutely, so just to check it sort of independently by phone. I think for me, the thing I try to remember when I get an email that I think may be a scam, and I don't know what you think about this, that is not to click on any link embedded with the email. Certainly. I think that's where it all starts to go wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, read what it's asking you. If it's saying, go to this website or click here, your bank certainly won't ever ask you to click a link within an email. The key advice is take your time. Don't click links within emails if you're unsure. And if you do end up deleting, I don't know, the photos that have been sent through from a wedding from a family member, they can send them again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if in doubt, ask.
I'm interested about technology here. I mean, do you recommend a type of device for people who are starting for the first time? Would you recommend a desktop, a laptop, or an iPhone, or
I think it's very individual. And I'm not allowed to recommend one or the other. You know, what I try to do is help people make their own impartial decisions. So as I said earlier, we've got a range of equipment at our offices, ranging from a cheap £50 tablet up to a few £100 worth of laptops and tablets. So the idea is that we can sit there and have an informal chat over a cup of tea or coffee, and kind of weigh up the pros and cons of, is it a small screen that you're after because you just want to go onto the web and put it in your handbag? Are you going to be spending maybe a longer period of time on it? Is it going to be your form of communication to the outside world? So you might want a larger screen, maybe, so you can see your friends and family member. You might even have an eyesight problem. So you might be looking for a tablet that has a better accessibility function.
I was thinking that about the question of eyesight and also manual dexterity, because I find it very hard to type on my iPhone because the keyboard is so tiny. But as you say, it's horses for courses, really, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly.
Okay, well, I think we're going to be getting into the Hollies now, and then we'll be back in just a few moments after some more ads. It's the Older and Wiser Show here. And if your heart is skipping a beat, why don't you get a Fitbit? Because we're going to be talking about those in just a moment. You'll be able to tell whenever your heart skips a beat. They're marvellous things, but I've got Dan Taylor and Tim Cripps with us here in the studio talking about digital inclusion. Mm-hmm. We've already talked about the reason why people don't want to go online. We've talked about what they're missing out on. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how you can help, Dan and Tim. So, Dan, you do these workshops and courses.
Yes.
How do people find out about them? And don't tell me, go online.
I'm not going to, don't worry. So we've got leaflets out in the community and posters. A lot of it relies on word of mouth as well.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how many older clients have found us, whether it be walking into our offices or they've had, normally a friend has had support from us. They might have had a volunteer like Tim go out and see them.
Okay.
Or they might see us on the library posters.
Okay. So you're in Newport and Rye twice a month, is that right?
Yes, that's correct, at the library.
Once a month in Freshwater.
Yep.
Yeah. Anywhere else? Or I'd sort of take it that you could be a bit mobile if Tim goes out to see people.
Yeah, so I've got a lovely army of about 40, 45 volunteers across right. the island. And what they've done is they've said, I'm willing to help an older person with the following. I've given them a tick list to go through, yeah. which is anything from an iPad to a sat-nav to getting someone online.
Yeah.
If I get a request, whether it be a phone call, someone even walking in the office, I have a good chat with them about where they're at with technology. So yeah. whether they've never used it before at all, or they might be ticking along,
yeah.
but need a little bit of support.
Can you send them all over to Benbridge, please? Because I've been helping out neighbours, and it sometimes takes hours and hours and hours of patience, doesn't it?
Definitely. I have got pockets of areas on the island, unfortunately, where I haven't got a number of volunteers. Benbridge is one of them, unfortunately. So if there's anyone out there in yeah, Benbridge...
I'm sure there will be some people that we know who are very happy to do that, yeah.
And I think the key thing is, and I'm sure Tim would agree, that I never expect someone to go and do something they're not comfortable with. So they've always got the right to say no. So yeah. a volunteer can turn around and say, I'm very happy to help someone with the internet, but actually, if you want me to go and do an update, I'm really sorry, but yeah. that's above what I can do. And that's absolutely fine, because I'm sure if I can't find a volunteer that can... You know, I can find another way of supporting someone.
You need to be a calm person, though, don't you? I mean, that's the thing. And Tim, I can tell that you're very, very calm. How did you get into this?
Well, simply by Daniel's... Well, actually, the Age UK, when you sign up as a volunteer, they have a tick list of things you can offer, like, would you drive people? Could you organise out and about outings? And one of them was IT. My wife definitely didn't take it. And I thought, well, OK, I could do that. And with the odd phone call to Daniel to say, look, I think I need a bit of specialist advice, yeah. and he's very good at that,
yeah.
I go armed, but... relaxed, as you say, because I realise that my knowledge is limited,
yeah.
and I can put people at ease and say, look, I'm not great at this, but it's not rocket science.
Yes, I think a lot of people don't do the obvious things. For example, you know, just Google the question
yes.
that yeah. they want, and you know, we find a lot of people just don't think about Googling.
Yeah, I think self-help's definitely one thing that I try and encourage during you know, conversations. And again, the key thing is once someone becomes confident with using the internet, and they can start to feel more comfortable out searching for a problem on how to fix, I don't know, whatever it may be.
Yes, but it's not just computers, is it? Because I mentioned Fitbit a minute ago, and Fitbit, of course, isn't the only sort of fitness tracker that you can use. There are plenty more.
Definitely.
But there are also things like Hive, and I guess people... we'll have Southern Electric putting leaflets through their door or sending them letters saying, you know, why don't you actually have a wireless electricity meter? Or the gas people are doing that as well. Do they come and ask you questions about those things, or Amazon Dot,
I think,
for example?
Over the last maybe half a year, them kind of questions are starting to come out more. So, you know, there's still the people who come to our door and say, I've never used technology before. But there's a lot of people out there who are using technology. And, you know, things like smart homes, smart light bulbs, all them kind of questions are starting to come along. Amazon Echo, as you've said, and Google Home and the other ones that are out there. one made me jump the other day when I went to a client's home and it shouted at me in the background.
Yeah. Now, how about Netflix and Amazon Prime and things like that? Do you get questions on those?
Yeah, so things like catch-up TV is definitely a key thing. So for older people who might be... maybe they're unable to get out and about as much nowadays. They may have their tablet and they might not realise that actually that there's a whole raft of entertainment built into it, whether it be catching up on your missed programme, or as you've said, using some of the online streaming services.
Yeah.
And part of the project is to kind of horizon scan and look at what's coming out in the future.
Yes.
Something of interest to is that they're now trying to put 4G on the moon. So I might hold a class
up
there.
I saw that. And they're trying to put 5G on the Isle of Wight, aren't they? Which is amazing. So, I mean, it could be that the Isle of Wight is way ahead of the rest of the country.
Definitely.
I know David Icke sort of thinks rather differently to that, but, you know, well, let's see what happens. So... more volunteers. I'm sure you need more volunteers.
Definitely. I know 45 seems a lot, but actually when you spread them across the island, and remember that actually people have got their own lives as well, and they're given their time, the more volunteers I've got, the more people I can support. I'm really short of people over in Cowes and West Wight and South Wight. And as I've said earlier... You know, you don't have to be an absolute expert. You don't even have to be from an IT background. As you said, Tim was from an RAF and maths teacher background.
Yeah.
So all it is imparting your knowledge, you know, for an older person. And that could be simply getting someone on the internet or helping them email for the first time, which is a really amazing thing to see someone, you know, connect with their family in abroad, for example, in Australia, and be able to suddenly see their grandkids on, you know, been on holiday or...
And as Tim was saying earlier, there's a real social element to this as well. I mean, you as a volunteer, you have met people, you've been to help, you've made friends with them. They're now volunteering, and it's opened up a whole new world for certainly one person that you visited on this basis. So it's not just really helping with the IT, is it? It's it's a possibility to help in a lot of ways.
It is. Well, you can connect people. And just by getting to be friendly with them, because you go in and help them with their IT, you immediately get to know them, and you find over and over again that they're lonely.
Yeah. No,
that's I always say, well, would you like to join an out and about outing? And you tell them briefly that you're going to go out to some nice cafe on the seafront or something. They say, yes, I'd love that. It would be the highlight of my month.
It is a good way of... getting to meet more people as well. Do volunteers get a little bit worried that they might make the situation worse? I mean, some of us, you know, are so sort of cack-handed when it comes to IT that, you know, I have found personally that I've made the situation worse when I've been helping people.
I think there's always a risk whether you work in IT or whether you're volunteering. You know, even I come across things and go, I've never seen this problem before, but actually, as you mentioned earlier, using Google or a search engine to find out how to fix something. I think the key thing is when volunteers come along or potential volunteers come along and have a chat with me, is sort of saying, actually, you know, impart what you know, and don't be worried about actually turning to the person saying, this is above and beyond what I know. But go back to the office and chat to Dan, and and we'll find another way of helping. There are going to be times when it's above and beyond even my skill set, and you know, it might be, I don't know, a corrupt hard drive, and I would be saying, you know, you need to go and see one of the PC repair type shops or that kind of thing.
Yes, and you know, also when you're doing upgrades and things like that, it can be quite worrying as to whether everything that's on your computer at the moment will stay there.
Yeah, so it's giving people reassurance and making sure that things like backups are done, and again, you know, not all of our volunteers will do that, but some will. As I said earlier, some are from ex-IT backgrounds and some aren't, so there's a whole raft of experience, and some people have been in IT for years who volunteer, so it's a great kind of pool of knowledge, and even I go and ask people for support sometimes.
And do some people sort of move on to the next generation and then come to you for advice on how to dispose of their computers? Because I know a lot of people are worried about there being personal information on the hard drives.
Yeah, so some people have asked us, how do I factory reset it? You know, there are shops around now that recycle old technology, which is great. So yeah, there are lots of ways of kind of moving on to the next piece of technology.
Okay, and just finally, let's talk about phone numbers again that people can ring if they want to get in touch with you.
So the key thing is whether you want information about one of the drop-in sessions or one-to-one tuition or volunteers going out and about, is to call me at the office, Age UK Isle of Wight, on 01983 525282, and just ask for Daniel. I'm the only one in the building.
Okay, fantastic. There is a Facebook page as well
Sort
of sons and daughters who are desperate to get their parents onto a computer, and that's facebook.com/digitaliow.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook, and also on our Age UK website there's a page on digital inclusion as well.
Okay, fantastic. Well, look, Dan, Tim, thank you very much for coming into the studio. It's been fascinating talking to you. Judith and I, as I said, thought this was probably one of the most interesting subjects that we could talk about as part of the Age Friendly Island project, because there, you know, there's so many friends that we have who are missing out. So please, Tim, do send a load of your friends over to Bembridge, please, and help us out. Anyway, that's it for Older and Wiser this week. We're back in a fortnight's time, so thank you very much indeed.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Older and Wiser with James and Judith and Age Friendly Island, making the Isle of Wight a great place to grow older with the help of the Big Lottery Fund.